Welcome to worship this Ash Wednesday. May this be a day of returning to the Lord our God together, trusting in God's merciful kindness. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, you hate nothing you have made, and you forgive the sins of all who are penitent. Create in us new and honest hearts, so that truly repenting of our sins, we may receive from you, the God of all mercy, full pardon and forgiveness through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A reading from Joel. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near. A day of darkness and gloom. A day of clouds and thick darkness, like blackness spread upon the mountains. A great and powerful army comes. Their like has never been from of old, nor will be again after them in ages to come. Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishing. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the aged. Gather the children, even infants at the breast. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her canopy. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not make your heritage a mockery, a byword among the nations. Why should it be said among the peoples, where is their God? The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Powerful words from our Savior, and yet they can become cliched for us. But more than that, I suspect, many of us actually live by a different saying, one that our Lord never used. Where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. Most of us are driven by our own desires rather than by disciplined living. We set our hearts on what we want, and then we set about making that the goal. And tonight we hear a radical call and challenge from Jesus. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Hope you hear the difference. Rather than following our desires and investing in those, Jesus urges us to invest instead in God's kingdom. Where our treasure is, Jesus knew to be the case, our hearts would not be far behind. I think about treasure in literal modern terms, and I think most naturally about money. How much time do we spend thinking about money, working for money, investing money? I know it's a driving force in my life, probably in yours as well. What will I do with my money? The truth is, one day that money will be dust just as surely as I myself will be. Perhaps our treasure includes also our possessions, yet even then all will eventually be destroyed. Nothing lasts forever. Rust consumes, moths destroy, thieves break in and steal. All of those treasures, all of mine, all of yours, will one day be no more. You and I will be no more in this earthly form. And that is why Jesus encourages his disciples to store up treasures in a different place, to store up treasures of a different kind. Because Jesus knows that the only thing that is going to last forever is God and God's kingdom. Jesus urges the disciples to make a different kind of investment. He urges those who would follow him to put their treasure where it will make a lasting and eternal difference. Of course, in part, this means to invest ourselves spiritually into the kingdom of God. That's part of what we will be focusing on in our Lenten meditations each of the next 5 Wednesdays in Lent. Focused on renewing our baptismal vows, that is, focusing on how we can recommit ourselves to investing all of our God-given talents and resources and energies into God's kingdom living. But the treasures Jesus is talking about don't just refer to spiritual things. We won't get off that easy. Instead, Jesus urges us to invest our treasures, money, vehicles, homes, resources, assets, into doing God's work and will in the world. In essence, he is saying if we spend our treasures on our own pleasures, we have received our reward in full already. Meanwhile, our neighbor may have been neglected and forgotten. But if we put our treasure toward others, toward God's heart and God's will for the world, we begin to live into God's eternal plan for things. And we find reward that lasts far beyond our own fleeting earthly enjoyment of things. We are investing, in fact, in something that can't be destroyed or taken away or lost or stolen from us. We put our assets into something eternal and imperishable. This is why Jesus urges us to give alms, offerings, to fast and to pray, not to make ourselves look better or richer or wiser, but rather to begin to invest our energies and our treasures into the work God is already doing in the world. The phrase he uses here is translated for us as practicing our piety, but the root word here is righteousness. Beware, he says, of practicing your righteousness, of doing your righteousness before others to be noticed by them. Jesus is telling us to check our motivations and our intentions when we do our righteousness, when we live and act according to God's will and ways. That is, are we doing what we're doing to receive further earthly treasures, whether it be money or accolades or approval or popularity? Or are we seeking first the kingdom of God? That's one of the questions with which we must wrestle today. The other question, another one we must wrestle with, is certainly related but has the potential to be much more uncomfortable than looking at our motivations alone. And that question is this: where are you putting your treasures? The late Billy Graham once famously remarked, "Give me 5 minutes with a person's checkbook and I will tell you where that person's heart is." He knew the truth just as Jesus did. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so you must wrestle with this question: where is your treasure? And that will lead to a deeper and more revealing truth: where is your heart? What do you value? What do you love? Is it what God values and loves? Is your heart becoming more or less like God's heart? Martin Luther got at this same truth when he wrote in the Large Catechism about the first commandment, "You shall have no other gods before me." He asked, "What does this mean?" And his answer, "To have a God means this: you expect to receive all good things from it and turn to it in every time of trouble. Yes, to have a God means to trust and to believe in Him with your whole heart. I have often said that only the trust and faith of the heart can make God or an idol. If your faith and trust are true, you have the true God too. On the other hand, where trust is false, is evil, there you will not have the true God either. Faith and God live together. I tell you, whatever you set your heart on and rely on is really your God. Where is your treasure? What do you turn to in every time of trouble? What do you expect all good things from? Is your God immortal and invisible? Or is your God printed on green paper? Is your God maker of heaven and earth? Or is your God made of plywood and shingles, of steel and plastic, of silver and gold? If you're anything like me, maybe you're not feeling quite so good about yourself and about things at the moment, because you might be thinking about your tendency to rely on other gods, thinking about the places and the portfolios in which you seek to build treasure for yourself, treasure that you know deep down one day will just rust or rot away. And it might be this time that it's about the time you're expecting me to say, straighten up and fly right, change your heart and return to God. But that's not exactly what Jesus says, remember. He doesn't say, where your heart is, there your treasure will be. The point is not putting your heart in the right place so your treasure may follow. Instead, his invitation is this: where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so we must face these questions about what our motivations are, about where and what our treasure is, and we're invited to put our treasure into eternal things. I hope you realize what a great opportunity that is. Jesus gives us a chance to invest where nothing can consume or destroy. He gives us a chance to make a lasting difference and to avoid disappointment and shallow rewards. We are to build up treasures, he says, in the kingdom of heaven, to use what God has given to us, as he said earlier in this same Sermon on the Mount, to be salt and light to the world, to invest in the lives of others, to show an interest in others, to care for others, to be a peacemaker, to give alms, to pray, to seek first God's kingdom and its righteousness. What might this look like for you in your life? How do you use your treasure? How do you spend your money? What would Brother Billy Graham find in 5 minutes inside your checkbook? Who or what would Martin Luther say is truly your God? The invitation tonight is to begin to invest some of that treasure in the kingdom, perhaps in ministries that seek to do justice and promote peace in our community and world. That may well mean giving more to this church. It might mean learning about new ministries and learning how they connect with others and make a real difference in the world as well. I must say I'm overjoyed to see the faithful response to so many giving opportunities this year here at Good Shepherd, especially since the pandemic began. Our social ministry committee has continued to lift up many opportunities to give, and you all have responded in amazing ways. We've raised more money for our monthly ministry emphases since the pandemic began than ever before. You know what that begins to tell me? It begins to tell me that where our treasure is going to support those ministries, to love our neighbors, to serve others in need, it tells me our hearts are not far behind. I encourage you to keep up that wonderful work, supporting our congregation and our ministries in this community. But it doesn't have to be money. How do you use your home? That's a great treasure in our family's life. Is it, I know it's tough during the pandemic, but is it a place of welcome? A place where you labor and rest to make a difference in the lives of others? Maybe you have a great big kitchen and food and utensils, and you can use those gifts and talents to help feed the hungry. Some of you already do that, I know. Sharing your food with our food pantry, grieving and sharing meals with those who are grieving in our congregation. Your treasure is already going in the right direction, and your heart is not far behind. What about your car, your own little treasure on wheels? I know some of you already use your vehicle to deliver Meals on Wheels or to come here to volunteer at the church or to go elsewhere to do good for others, to help get people to appointments who need that sort of help. It's one way. Some of you are already putting your treasure to use in the kingdom of heaven. How might you do that more fully? Or if you aren't doing that, how might you start? I know all of this is more difficult during a pandemic, but aside from presenting unique challenges, this time gives you unique opportunities to reimagine how you can invest your treasure in eternal places and purposes. And as you do invest your treasure in those places, notice what happens. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Begin to put your money and your stuff closer to God's heart and God's will, and you will find your heart closer to God's as well. So tonight, as you return to the Lord your God, who formed you from the dust of the earth and gave you life, gave you yourself, gave you your time, gave you your possessions, think about your treasure and how you can invest in places and people, in programs and projects that do God's will, drawing near to the Lord in faith, trusting that your heart will indeed follow after your treasure. Amen. Friends in Christ, today with the whole church, we enter the time of remembering Jesus' Passover from death to life, and our life in Christ is renewed. We begin this holy season by acknowledging our need for repentance and for God's mercy. We are created to experience joy in communion with God, to love one another, and to live in harmony with creation, but our sinful rebellion separates us from God, our neighbors and creation, so that we do not enjoy the life our Creator intended. As disciples of Jesus, we are called to a discipline that contends against evil and resists whatever leads us away from the love of God and neighbor. I invite you, therefore, to the discipline of Lent, self-examination and repentance, prayer and fasting, sacrificial giving and works of love, strengthened by the gifts of word and sacrament. Let us continue our journey through these 40 days to the great 3 days of Jesus' death and resurrection. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most holy and merciful God, we confess to you and to one another and before the whole company of heaven that we have sinned by our fault, by our own fault, by our own most grievous fault, in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart and mind and strength. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have not forgiven others as we have been forgiven. Have mercy on us, O God. We have shut our ears to your call to serve as Christ served us. We have not been true to the mind of Christ. We have grieved your Holy Spirit. Have mercy on us, O God. Our past unfaithfulness, the pride, envy, hypocrisy, and apathy that have infected our lives, we confess to you. Have mercy on us, O God. Our self-indulgent appetites and ways and our exploitation of other people, we confess to you. Have mercy on us, O God. Our negligence in prayer and worship and our failure to share the faith that is in us, we confess to you. Have mercy on us, O God. Our neglect of human need and suffering and our indifference to injustice and cruelty, we confess to you. Have mercy on us, O God. Our false judgments, our uncharitable thoughts toward our neighbors, and our prejudice and contempt toward those who differ from us, we confess to you. Have mercy on us, O God. Our waste and pollution of your creation and our lack of concern for those who come after us, we confess to you. Have mercy on us, O God. Restore us, O God, and let your anger depart from us. Hear us, O God, for your mercy is great. Returning to the Lord our God, let us pray for the church, the world, and all of God's creation. Gracious and merciful God, empower your church to be an ambassador of reconciliation in the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious and merciful God, restore creation to wholeness and strengthen our resolve to be good stewards of all that you have made. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious and merciful God, make this the acceptable time for peace. Guide the leaders of all nations to put an end to war and violence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious and merciful God, deliver those in need, the hungry, the afflicted, the imprisoned, and the ill, especially all those we name before you now. That their joy be restored. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious and merciful God, create a clean heart in all who worship here today, and bless all who prepare during these 40 days to be baptized at Easter. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious and merciful God, we give you thanks for all the saints who now partake in your heavenly treasure. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O God, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your abundant mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Go in peace. Remember the poor.
Thanks be to God.